All right. We are in Ephesians still, Ephesians 3, 9 to 13 today. So, remember last week we talked about him being the least of all the saints, but at least he was a saint. So this is where this picks up, the purpose of the mystery. And verse 9 says, to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. And, you know, I remember the kids, probably about 10 years ago, watched this show. It was called Mystery Science Theater. And basically what it was old B-movies from the 50s. And then they had these little silhouettes of these little aliens and little people sitting in front of the theater. And all you saw was their silhouettes. And they would make comments about these B-movies. And the reason why we have a picture downstairs in the office of the kids, and they're all like laughing their heads off. Well, you know, what do you do to make kids laugh, especially teenagers, right? So this, I just remember this one episode, and this is how bad these B-movies are. You know, this guy's driving in a convertible, and he had an accident, car turned over, and his girlfriend lost her head. So he's running through the fields with like a football with her head, to this mad scientist who puts her head in this pan to keep her alive, right? So we called her Jan in the Pan, okay? So that's what I used to get these guys to laugh, was Jan in the Pan. And then that's that picture down there, is all them just laughing their heads off because of that crazy movie. But Paul is making commentary on another kind of mystery, not Mystery Science Theater, but mystery of all, that was hidden before the ages of time began. And I want to see this, I guess you can have DVDs now, you know, of, you know, different things in the ages. But this Revelation 13:8 basically says this: Jesus Christ, the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. Go explain that. I mean, really, how do you explain that? I thought he was slain 2,000 years ago on Calvary, but it was purposed in God's heart. And that's what we're talking about here, is a purpose in the mystery, that Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. It didn't catch God by surprise when Adam and Eve sinned or when Satan rebelled or any of that kind of stuff. He knows. So Paul's assignment, should he accept it, like Mission Impossible, was to make us all see, to bring to light the mystery of God's purpose. And this is God's purpose. These three things is God's purpose carried out over the ages. The first one was, like we've been talking about the last 2 weeks, that the Jews and the Gentiles are on equal terms. And remember why was that really out of this world? Because the Jews were the chosen people, right? And the Gentiles were the dogs. And those two would never mix. And yet in Christ, the two became one new man, like what we have over the communion table. That's the new man. Crystal underneath. We're just getting all the gunk and the flesh and the stuff peeled off in the meantime. So that's the first thing. The first thing of this purpose, mission purpose one, Gentiles and Jews on equal terms. The second one is the church, which is the body of Christ, has to make this mystery known even unto the angelic host, it says. What? Yeah, it says to make this mystery known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Why is that important? I thought we worship angels. What are they trying to learn from us nowadays? Because the church, and we'll look at 1 Peter 1:12, the church is the one who's supposed to take this mystery and make it known. And even the angels lean over and they don't even understand. They're like, wow, what is this? What is this? And the third thing, third purpose, was that each individual believer has a personal role in spreading this truth to non-believers. Could God go like this and just make everybody a believer? I guess he could, but he didn't make us like robots. We have choices. and he used us to take the message. And you think, well, God, you could have used a better vessel than me to take the message. Sorry, you meet people that I'll never meet. I'll meet people that you never meet. You know, always pray for a divine appointment. You'd be surprised what the Lord brings you. Yes, there was a week of that. Rose always has a week like that, right? So, Paul's cause is to make known the manifold wisdom of God. Now, this word manifold is not the thing that's under the hood of your car, okay? This is what the word means. Kaleidoscope, where we get the word. The great variety of colors, hues, shades, tints of the university of the church. This is real diversity. This is what real diversity is about. And it's a kaleidoscope of wisdom manifested by God to his church. So you remember when you look at a kaleidoscope and you put it up to the light and you turn it and it's just like all the beads, you know, just turn and everything and you get all these different kinds of lights and hues and tints and everything? That's what that is. That's what the word manifold means. The great variety of colors, hues, shades, tints, true diversity of the wisdom of God. And he manifests it to his church. Does his church have tints and hues and all kinds? I mean, you know, is there anything more diverse than the body of Christ? Yet it'll all fit together, just like we talked about the other week with Jesus being the cornerstone. How's your nibs doing? Remember the cement blocks that my uncle Nick, you know, come on, Petey, you're lagging behind. He was down in the pit, I'll never forget that, in Purdy's, New York, and it's August, and it's 98 humidity, 98 degrees. And he's laying out the bricks, you know, the three-hold big cement blocks. And all I had to do was take a piece of a brick and just scrape off the nibs off the one end so that he could put them on there. And I couldn't keep up with them, you know. And that was one of the two times, one of the three times. One, the other time was climbing the 60-foot extension ladder and painting widow's peaks, and the other one was breaking shale off the roofs and putting down composition in the middle of summer. Those are the three instances that said, I'm going to go to college. And I went so far that I got 3 degrees. I kept getting farther and farther away from it. So, that's the kaleidoscope of the wisdom manifested by God to his church. Each saint is a professor and each angel is a student to comprehend the subject of God's grace. We are the instructors. Now, 1 Peter 1:12 says, the angels have a passionate desire to stoop down and look into the great plan of redemption. The angels are the spectators on the sidelines. That's what they're supposed to be. And yet, what do we have in this culture? Chasing after signs and wonders, worshiping angels. And what did Jesus call that? An adulterous generation. Sadly, today, many Christians are, thank you, Michael, for this, AWOL. Michael told me that a long time ago. AWOL Christians are absent without the Lord Christians. They're absent without the Lord from the game or have benched themselves on the sidelines and are distracted, and they're gazing at the spectators while the game is being played out before them. We've got it all backwards. And gazing at the ones that are sitting, like the angels, and gawking at them instead of looking at what's going on the field. The single aim of this purpose is to bring Christ in and bringing Christ into others. We are fellow workers with God in this. And if you want to put some scriptures down, Ephesians 1:11, we already talked about that one weeks and weeks ago. 2 Timothy 1:9, these are all about the single purpose, the single aim that God has. Galatians 1, 16 and 19, and Hebrews 1, 2. Look at that. All at the beginning of each one of these books. The purpose of God. This is the manifold purpose of God, basically. The single aim of God. Ephesians 1:11, 2 Timothy 1:9, Colossians 1:16-19, and Hebrews 1:2. Is a purpose statement important? Yeah, you got to know where you're going. Okay? Now, verse 11, it says, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, the eternal purpose accomplished in Christ which results in boldness. Now, look at this. It says here, he accomplished it in Christ Jesus our Lord, verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. So, this is not bravado with insolence, you know, and rudeness. It's unreserved freedom of speech. That's what the word boldness means. Unreserved freedom of speech. This is real freedom of speech. Remember the Norman Rockwell paintings that they had the four, you know, freedom, liberty, freedom of speech. Freedom of speech when they stand up in the, when they're having what do they call them? Yeah, the town meetings, you know, freedom of speech that gives access to the throne room of God. It's humility properly displayed. Remember, God is not our homeboy or homie or yo dude, and you just kind of saunter in and slap him in the hand and say, hey, how you doing? Listen, John was with Jesus all those years. And when Jesus appears in Revelation, he's on his face. You're not going to be sauntering in, believe me. It's Esther coming before Xerxes. No one came bebopping into the throne room. You lost your life. And the reason why she didn't lose her life is because Xerxes puts his staff out and says it's okay. Because if he didn't do that, she's done. I don't care who it is. You lost your life. Like Esther, we are acceptable to the Father, and he is favorable to us. That's the thing. That's because of Christ. Is we are acceptable to the Father, and he is favorable towards us. This confidence is in the past tense. So when it says here, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished, past tense, in Christ, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. Again, confidence, confidence. So it's in the past tense. What does that mean? It means a past process of being completely persuaded and you're confirmed in the settled state of utter confidence. What? Can you go over that again? Yeah, I'm going to go over it again. There, I read Streams in the Desert every day. Try to every day anyways. And this one, I always remember this one, but it was about this little kid who was telling his friends what he got for Christmas. And one of the things that he said was that he got a stamp collection from Grandma. There was no stamp collection from Grandma. There wasn't any. So his mother took him aside and said, Georgie, we don't want to fib. You know, Grandma did not send the stamp collection. And this is what he said. He looked at her like, what? And he said, well, Mama, Grandma said, so it is the same as. And she says, I could not say anything, a word to check his faith. So it goes another week and 2 weeks, and he's still telling people that he got stamp collection from Grandma. So finally, he says, Mama, do you think it would be any good if I should write Grandma thanking her for the album? I don't know, I said, but you might try. She says, a rich spiritual truth began to dawn upon me. In a few minutes, a letter was prepared and committed to the mail, and he went off whistling his confidence in his grandma. In just a short time, a letter came, and this is what the letter said. My dear Georgie, I have not forgotten my promise to you of the album. I tried to get such a book as you desired, but could not get the sort that you wanted. So I sent it on to New York. It did not get there till after Christmas. And yet when it came to me, it still was not the right one. So I sent for another, and it has not come yet. So I send you $3 to get one in Chicago, your loving grandma. As he read the letter, his face was the face of a victor. Now, Mama, didn't I tell you? Came from the depths of his heart. that, against all hope, believed in hope that the stamp album would come. While he was trusting, Grandma was working, and in due season, faith became sight. It is so human to want sight when we step out on the promises of God, but our Savior said to Thomas, what? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So, that's the word for this word, confidence. It is something, a past process. It's in past tense. It's not, I'm having confidence that it's going to happen. It's past tense. That you're completely persuaded, it's confirmed, and it's settled that you have utter confidence that it's done, even if you don't see it. And that's the difference, you know? That's the difference with this little kid. Grandma promised, it's as good as done. So this confidence has an object, and it's faith in Christ. Paul finishes very unexpectedly, and he says, rejoice in the tribulations that we would not lose heart at his tribulations and become discouraged. Well, he talks about his tribulations in 2 Corinthians 12, 5 and 10, and Colossians 1, 24. And it's like, why would we rejoice in his tribulations? Well, so that we would not become discouraged. And isn't that interesting? We've talked about kind of tribulations today. The greater the office of the sufferer and the more the afflictions. Remember, Paul was caught up to the third heaven. And he was given a thorn, what? Keep him humble. We don't know what that thorn is. We know it's a physical thing. We don't know if it's a person that was dogging him every time he went someplace. We don't know. But whatever it was keeping him humble. Because he saw third heaven. Anybody here seen third heaven? No. The greater the office of the sufferer, the more the afflictions. The greater the honor, the more dishonor from others. Because we have a natural depraved nature that wishes to see people fail. We do. We don't get excited when somebody does something good. We want to see them come down our level. So that's why we crab at them and make comments about them. So he finishes this and he says, therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. It's really for you that I am going through these tribulations. But don't get discouraged. You know, if I can go through them, you can go through them. So I'm going to end with some quote from an old sage, John Wooden, who was 13-time champion basketball coach for UCLA. This is what he said. This is kind of interesting. Talent is God-given. Be humble. Fame is man-given, be thankful. Conceit is self-given, be careful. Okay? Talent is God-given, be humble. Look, Paul was not running around with big diamond rings and calling himself an apostle. Remember he said, I am least than the least of all the saints. He had it properly positioned in his humility. He's confident in the Lord, but he even said, you would give your eyeball for me. Why? Because maybe he had something that was wrong with his eyes, or he didn't speak very well. He spoke with boldness in the Holy Spirit. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Fame is God-given. Be thankful. I don't know about that, but anyway, you know, fame is fleeting, right? You're up one time, you're down the next. Just look at football seasons or baseball seasons or basketball seasons. You're either the hero or the goat. Depends on the year. And then conceit is self-given. Be careful. You know, I just, you know, as we're going through Ephesians, I've gotten such a deeper and richer sense of who, not only Jesus, but Paul, you know? Because I had some connotations about Paul. You know, it's like they lowered him in a basket over the wall, you know, in Jerusalem, and there was peace in the city. No kidding. Get rid of this guy. He stirs up too many things. And he's hard-headed, and he's probably a type A driver, right? He was when he was a Jew. But God used him, and God humbled him. Remember, if you yield, it's called sanctification. If you don't yield, it's called sanctification. And I'm sure Paul got sanctified lots because he's a hardhead. But when you read him, what he says about this, he's like a nursing mother, and he's like a loving father when he writes these things. And he's like, don't lose heart at my tribulations. It's for you. It's for so that you guys don't get disappointed when you go through stuff. This is a great cloud of witnesses, it says in Hebrews, and they're cheering us on. So we need to be cheered on. And we need to cheer each other. That's right. Okay? So remember little Georgie with the little stamp collection, that his confidence was in Grandma, and it was not shaken, even by Mom. And he says, Grandma said it, it's as good as done. Well, if we could say that about Grandma, we should say it about God. Because he's a Jewish grandma, remember? He takes out his wallet and shows your picture to the angels in heaven. This is my kid. So, all right, well, let's put our Bibles aside and let's pray and we'll let you go here. And Paul, if you can pass the baskets around and for tithes and offerings, and then we'll just thank the Lord for the day and we'll be on our way. Father, we thank you for, gosh, what do you get out of Ephesians 3, 9 to 13? We just read over it real quick. But Lord, we thank you for the kaleidoscope of wisdom that you manifest through us to the world. And we thank you, Lord, that the angels are the ones that are desiring to look and figure out this great plan of redemption, and they're the spectators. And we're the ones that are supposed to be teaching, not the other way around. And so, Father, we also pray that we'd have Georgie's confidence in you, just like he had in his grandma, Lord, that it's a past process and it's completely persuaded. It's confirmed. It's settled. You said it. That's it. Case closed. Done. And that was just over a little stamp collection. So, Lord, we just really pray that we would walk in faith, that we rejoice in utter confidence in you, and that when we do face tribulations, we do not lose heart, because Paul's already walked through it, and many others have already walked through it, so that we don't get discouraged. So we ask you to bless our tithes and offerings. Thank you for us having our little service today in peace and safety and security. Pray for those who couldn't be with us, Lord. Just watch over them. Keep them safe this week. In Jesus' name, amen.